Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
We're back on the opponent preview series. We're to the Arkansas Razorbacks. Our friend Jackson Fuller joins us from the Southwest Time Record. Plenty to talk about with the Hogs, Jackson. But first, and we'll just have to take a little trip off the beaten path here. I found out after our last interview that you're a Chelsea fan.
Yes, sir. A big one since 2008. So
you got me beat on that. So, and you've been to Stamford Bridge?
Yeah. So last year or 2 years ago, I did a master's degree in London. So I got to be a crazy fan and go spend all of my budget pretty much on going to Chelsea games.
You said last year?
I covered before the last football season, so 2022 to 2023.
Oh God! So you got the
worst year in Chelsea.
Oh, bad times. Give me 30 seconds on the new gaffer, and what do you think? Are we finally going to see some stability and some continuity in West London?
I don't know. I'm not confident on stability ever in West London. Sure. I like what I've seen and read about Enzo. I prefer his style of play to Pochettino's, like more controlled and everything. Mm-hmm. I think Chelsea fans, though, in general, don't like they kind of love the chaos that, you know, I don't know, Mourinho and some other guys did. But yeah, I think that we're starting to see the talent really develop. And that's super exciting that these young kids are starting to potentially turn into really reliable players. And we got Cole Palmer. So I'm optimistic about the season. Stability, I don't know. If he loses 3 matches in a row, the fans are going to be
fired. Yeah. There's no question about that. All right, I will make sure to put a disclaimer before this interview airs. If you're not a soccer guy, to just skip through the first 60 seconds and just let me get through my little passion project there. Let's talk about the Hogs. I mean, I'm not alone in saying I'm not high on this team. I just don't know how they're going to do this year. I worry about Sam Pittman long term there, and it starts at the quarterback position because Bobby Petrino's offense to me has always been so quarterback driven. If you don't have the right guy there, the things just don't come into place for what he wants to do offensively. How does Taylen Green fit into this system?
Look, I'm going to drop a name that I probably should not drop, and I'm not saying Taylen Green is anywhere near as good as this player, but I do think there's a chance we see an offense that looks similar to what Bobby Petrino ran with Lamar Jackson at Louisville, where it's trying to get this guy who is just a freak of nature athlete for a quarterback. We didn't really see it too much in the spring just because there were no tackles, but there were times where it's like, okay, I'm scrambling, and when he gets into space and those long legs start going, it's like, whoa, this is not only like a fast quarterback, it's one of the fastest players on the entire team. So I think and I say Lamar Jackson just because that Louisville team, I mean, he was such a good passer, and he is, you know, he's a terrific passer. He's an NFL quarterback, but I think there's going to be a heavy emphasis on using the quarterback in the run game. I don't really have any proof of that because, like I said, there was no tackling and we didn't see him run too much in the spring. But I think that's the route for this team to exceed its expectations, is you really have a good dual threat guy. And if he starts running the ball well, it makes life easier for the running backs as well. You know, opposing linebackers and defenses have to worry about the quarterback running. So I'm with you. I'm not like super high on this team. I think I'm higher than other people are. But I do think like with Taylen Green, that's kind of, you know, the ideal is like we get a quarterback who can do damage with both of his, with the arm and his legs. And the offense is, you know, I just think naturally the offense is going to be better than last year because it was one of the worst offenses in the country.
Well, if they are going to be better this year, one of the guys who's going to have to give them a boost is Jaquindon Jackson, the transfer from Utah. When he got the ball at Utah, he was very good, almost 800 yards rushing a season ago. He's averaging close to 6 yards per carry for his career. I think about what Rocket Sanders was able to do in that Arkansas offense. Can Jackson give them that kind of running back?
Yes, I think so. I mean, he's talked about how he was injured last year at Utah and played through the injury, which means that maybe there's an even higher ceiling than what he's shown. It was a foot injury. But I also think Arkansas is pretty high on some of the other running backs they have, where like with Rocket, I think he was like the undisputed number one, and that could happen with Jackson, but they really like this freshman, Braylon Russell. You know, Rashad DeBinion's been around the program for a while. He's a great pass catcher out of the backfield. They went out and got a transfer from Florida State. I think it's going to be more of a running back by committee approach than maybe it was with Rocket. But I think, you know, the key for the entire offense is going to be that offensive line. I mean, if they have to play better than they did last year, and I think they will, and they've got some really, you know, some talented transfers in the fold. If that offensive line is playing well and JaQuindon does kind of become the number one back, yeah, I could see him put up numbers similar to Rocket, but I think it's going to be a more diversified attack this year.
Well, you hit on my next question with this offensive line. There's some experience there. They brought in some transfers, but they brought in some transfers who have played, and in some cases have played Power 5 football. Is this going to be a good enough group up front to deliver, again, that Petrino offense with what they like to do? I know that they can't withstand being weak on the offensive line.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, it's going to be better than it was last year. I don't think there's any way it gets worse, and that's automatically going to be a boost. Can they be an average offensive line? I don't know. In the SEC, will they be like the 6th, 7th, 8th best offensive line in the SEC? Probably not, but I think that needs to be the goal. Fernando Carmona, he transferred in from San Jose State. He's going to play left tackle. And I mean, all the defensive linemen and the offensive linemen just raved about this guy in practice. He's going to be the foundational piece. I think he's going to have a great year. I trust Addison Nichols at center. He's gotten some snaps playing time at Tennessee before coming here. But really the other three guys, I'm not 100% certain on. I think there's potential for this group to be pretty good, but after what we saw last year, we got to see it to believe it. I think maybe the biggest offseason addition was Eric Mateos, the offensive line coach from Baylor. He's a Sam Pittman, you know, disciple, and kind of got his career started under Pittman. And from what I've heard and what I've seen, I think he's going to be a huge upgrade for that room and help the offensive line hopefully play a lot better than they did last year.
6 games a season ago, this team gave up more than 30 points. Interestingly enough, they have one game where they only gave up 7 points, but they still found a way to lose. I don't ever want to relive that day. What's the identity of this defense? You know, since Barry Odom has gone, they've taken that step back. What is this defense going to be in 2024?
Yeah, you know, last year was such a strange year for the defense because you're right. You read out the numbers and it's like and points allowed and stuff, and they look like a very below average defense. But then you kind of dig into how many yards they allowed, and they were pretty good in that number. I mean, then they held Ole Miss, one of the best offenses, to under 30 points. Really took it to Alabama. They fell off at the end. I think the identity of this defense is going to be that defensive line, and particularly outside on the edge with Landon Jackson. I mean, he's projected to be a potential first round pick. That's a big reason he came back for his senior season, was to boost his draft stock. They've got Nico Davie and Anton Junkaj on the other side. I think if that defensive line can get pressure on the quarterback and create sacks and pressure, they've got a chance to be pretty good. They definitely need the linebackers are the biggest question mark. I mean, they have like no experience there at linebacker. They went out and got a couple transfers, a former 5-star recruit from Georgia, Xavier Sori. So potential there, but it's another got to see it to believe it situation. This just no snaps at all in that linebacker room. So that's kind of the biggest concern for me, but I am optimistic about this defense. I think that they played better than maybe some of the final scores said last year, and then until they kind of just fell off at the end against Auburn and Missouri.
This game, you know, where it sits on the schedule, what it means to both of these teams, I feel like this is the game that the winner of this game can go to a bowl. The loser is not going to a bowl. The margins are just that thin in this series this year between these two teams. Do you feel the same way? Is this the swing game of the season for Arkansas?
Yeah, I think I'm actually like planning on writing a story this week about like the 3 most important games for Arkansas. And I think that it's very clearly Oklahoma State, Texas A&M, and Mississippi State. There's, I think, a couple weeks in between all of those games. So it's like, you know, a good time. But, you know, by the time we get to Mississippi State, if I think they Arkansas has to win one of those other two, the Oklahoma State or Texas A&M games. Otherwise, I don't even know if they're – they might be out of bowl eligibility by that time if the season goes how a lot of people think it's going to go. But yeah, I agree with you. I don't see a way where maybe both Mississippi State and Arkansas are bowl eligible at the end of the year. If that happens, then some of the other SEC teams have really had disappointing seasons. You know, it's going to be interesting. I think last year Arkansas was the more talented team and Mississippi State won on the road. This year, I think Mississippi State might be a little bit more talented, but it's, I don't know. It's just, it feels like it's been a weird series in recent years. I could see it really going either way, but it's going to be an early morning kickoff, right, in Starkville. It's going to be, I think it's, you're right. It's going to be a very, very key game for both teams. I think Arkansas fans will just hope that by the time late October comes around, they are still, you know, have a shot at bowl eligibility.
We were talking about this a lot on this podcast and on Sports Talk Mississippi about how when it comes to like SEC media, for some reason, Arkansas gets the benefit of the doubt over Mississippi State almost every year, despite the fact that I think State's won 7 of the last 10 in this series, and State has finished ahead of Arkansas, I think, 7 or 8 of the last 10 years. And yet, I would be almost willing to guarantee next week when we're in Dallas that Arkansas will be predicted ahead of Mississippi State in the rankings. But I do agree. I think State is the more talented team this year. It is in Starkville. So we'll see how that goes. That game, though, yeah, from my perspective, if Mississippi State doesn't win that game, they're not going to go to a bowl game. That's just as simple as that for me. So, Jackson Fuller, Southwest Time Record, thanks for joining me, man. We'll talk in Dallas next week. We'll definitely have to catch up with Eli Letterman and put him in a locker, that Tottenham fan. We don't like him.
yeah, no Spurs, good times with me. So
sounds good. Thanks, man.
All right, see you, Brian.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.